You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
Buckle up.
Buckle up.
Welcome to Desperate, a podcast where two unmarried women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia.
And I'm Jordan.
We are so excited to have you along for this ride as we embark on this epic journey.
Yeah, you can join us by watching each episode on Amazon Prime through IMDb TV, but that's not a requirement.
It is also on Hulu if you don't want to go to IMDb TV. The other option is not watching at all. We're totally fine with that. Just listening us take you through every episode with no context whatsoever is enjoyable in its own right.
Absolutely.
It's its own little experience. Either way, it's going to be a super dramatic good time.
Of course, for sure. We are not housewives. We have no experience as housewives, but we're hoping to learn, and we're going to learn from the best.
I've never been even in the vicinity of being close to married or having a home of my own. I have literally lived off my family for a long time.
Yeah, same.
Not that I'm rich. Like, we're not rich. I don't mean I lived off their money. Yeah, I, like, stayed in their extra bedroom is what I mean.
Yeah.
We are in our 20s in a major metropolitan city, Los Angeles.
Yep.
So we thought that we would broaden our horizons, really get outside of our comfort zones, actually, and watch a show that is completely nothing like our lives.
Not at all like our lives. Not at all. The only thing maybe we might have in common is dating shitty men. Like, they've married shitty men.
They just married, though. The ones that we didn't
They went through with it. We haven't.
We might be jump ship. But, yeah, we just thought we would, you know, go somewhere with no context and visit some concepts that we maybe can't grasp at all, and, you know, review it, walk through it together. I've never watched this series at all. I've watched a lot of television, don't get me wrong. I'm an expert. People have told me that's what I'm good at.
Okay, well,
talent.
This is the job for you.
Like, Julia, you're talented at watching TV. I've watched a lot of TV, never watched this. I watched a lot of other catty drama, melodramas, but I think you have more experience.
Oh, yeah, I'm a veteran. I'm a veteran of Eagle County, this made-up place that they live in. Then we still can't pinpoint where Wisteria Lane is, but whatever.
The big question.
I've seen every episode multiple times. It was a family household staple. You know, I think I was about 10 when I finally got to start watching it, which was, I think, season 3. But, yeah, I'm super excited to share this experience with Julia as she watches all the twists and turns.
Yeah, so whether you are a veteran viewer or you're just like me and jumping in for the first time, quarantine got the best of you, you've hit that content desert and you want to jump in with me, I mean, we have both perspectives.
Yeah.
But we wanted to turn to this soapy melodrama because it inspired a pop culture phenomenon
Absolutely.
That we know as The Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan's told me a little bit about the series. We didn't go in at random. We didn't choose this randomly. She prepped me. I have heard things get steamy, they get spicy, there's rumors that there's death, disasters, and a statutory rape situation.
Mm-hmm. All stuff they can't show on Real Housewives, so.
Yeah, it's just tragic if it's on Real Housewives.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrilled. I love the drama. One thing, I don't want to be spoiled.
I'm not going to give any spoilers. I am committing to not spoiling anything. As to the best of my ability, I hopefully won't slip that up, but I'm committing and I'm going to be careful. But man, oh man, do I want to spoil.
It's so juicy.
It's so good. The structure of the series, every season there's like a new mystery on top of just like the regular storylines.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. I think it kind of adds to like the week to week drama. But, you know, this first season, they really just right out the gate, go for it.
I mean, I don't know much about the history of the show. Mm-hmm. We are hoping that we can have guests on here. Mm-hmm. We're hoping we can have some writers, directors.
That's the dream.
Maybe. I mean,
actor too.
Anybody who's been on the studio tour, mm-hmm. maybe yeah. you can come here and tell us what it was like for you. Mm-hmm. Our producer, Drake, delivered some sandwiches there.
Yeah.
Upwards of 30 times.
So he is also technically a veteran of Eagle County.
He was basically a PA.
Yeah, he lived there.
Craft services.
Yeah.
So we might have him on here. Mm-hmm. Really, we're looking for diverse guests who can offer some unique input on yeah. how they view the episodes. Because I think, like, any show that was made at any time, it is a statement about what's going on in society and the mm-hmm. world, really. So we would love to have some guests on here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the writers, but I think maybe you do.
Yeah, so the creator is Mark Cherry. He did a lot of writing for the first season, and then he stepped back the second season and kind of came back. But he wrote a lot of Golden Girls. That was his, like, foray into TV, which I like Golden Girls, but it's not at all like Golden Girls. So this show has a little bit more of, like, a mean-spiritedness to it. But Mark Cherry, like, his writing style is very witty. Like, he likes to kind of make quips. He's quippy. So I personally really like it. And yeah, the show was shopped around quite a bit, got turned down by basically every network before ABC was like, yes. And that was a big year because ABC was like, yes to this, Grey's Anatomy, and Lost. Like,
wait, okay. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
This was the same year that Grey's Anatomy.
Yep.
We're in 2021, by the way, just to timestamp this. We're in 2021.
So this was 2000, I guess technically 2003 is when it got greenlit, and then these shows premiered in 2004.
Why isn't Desperate Housewives still, Grey's Anatomy is still airing.
I know.
They ran out of storylines there, but not for Grey's Anatomy.
Not for Grey's Anatomy. But you know what's even crazier? The like producers that greenlit all these shows, they got fired because they were all so expensive. And then all three of these shows went on to be huge.
They were all huge. I mean, to this day, everybody yeah. is Lost. Why did the ending suck so bad?
Yeah.
People, like, you like, go into that. That is spoken about at least once a day.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere.
Somehow it's still water cooler
within
talk.
A block of you. Yeah. Somebody, your next door neighbor.
Someone's like, I just started watching Lost. And you're like, ooh, sweetie.
Yeah.
Maybe don't.
You're in a restaurant somewhere. You can guarantee there's somebody talking about that every day within the vicinity of you.
Yeah.
So these really left an imprint on society.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thrilled about that. I mean, if we could get Mark Cherry up in here, I don't know what he's doing now.
I don't know what he's doing either, but I would love to find out. So let's get him on the show.
I think,
Mark Cherry, if you're listening, yeah. you're welcome at any time.
We're going to have an update for you guys next episode. We're going to break down. We're going to find some, like, really scandalous, not E! Online. There's another online news outlet that does, like, kind of trashy news about celebrities.
There was actually, like, a ton of drama behind the scenes of Desperate Housewives.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot. So maybe not today, but we'll get into it.
So we'll give you guys, maybe we'll do a special episode mm-hmm. with, like, real.
Break down the drama.
Yeah. Not real Housewives the show, but real Desperate Housewives yeah. drama.
There's a lot there. And it can all stem from a very famous Vanity Fair cover shoot. They only did one shoot together, the women, for a magazine cover.
So what were they doing? Just cropping together pictures for the rest of them?
Yep. So that's just, like, the tipping point. And we'll get into it, but it's fun. There's some good stuff. The Vanity Fair cover literally said, "You have no idea what it took to get this photo." Like, that's how dramatic it was. Vanity Fair just said, fuck it. They're like, fuck it. We're just gonna say
it. People are getting gray hairs over this. Over these women.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we are hoping to have some writers on here. Really anyone.
Mm-hmm.
With experience.
Yeah.
So something to look forward mm-hmm. to. But we'll give you some updates. We'll throw in some special content about what's really going on.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see how desperate these women really are.
I think you're in for a real treat.
Is that even an accurate word to use? Desperate?
At times, I would say.
At times. I mean, it's a loaded word.
It is a
loaded
word.
You can't be throwing that around loosely.
But I think you're in for a real surprise because you don't even know what's coming.
Yeah. I want some relatable stuff, but mm-hmm. I also want some outlandish shit to happen.
Well, this is perfect for you then.
I want an actor. Yeah, I want that actor replacement where they have the where somebody leaves the show and they're like, let's just throw somebody else in the mix. And this is now the character.
There is actor replacement, but I'm not going to go further than
I mean, I'm excited. I wanted confirmation that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Lately, I've been living. I talked it over with a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked about the movie Looper, mm-hmm. where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is replaced by Bruce Willis. And I was like, that, well, not replaced, but he plays an older
character
version. And I'm just like, no, absolutely I didn't buy not.
That. That was a weird casting decision.
That was a deep fake. They edited Bruce Willis's face. Deep fake.
Maybe they just should have at this point. Like, you can do that now with actors. Digitally de-age them. Just do that.
We didn't have that technology in 2004, I guess.
Yeah, no, not in 2004.
I heard that Danny Elfman also did the intro music for this.
He did, and he won an Emmy for it. So it's like
pretty wild.
I know Danny Elfman is like, yeah, like he's the real deal. I love that he did the music for this, and I think he's the perfect choice. Once we watch the episode, you'll get a feel for like the way, like the vibe of the show. Yeah. And I think he is a really good choice.
I do feel like Desperate Housewives has dropped out of the common lexicon. Nobody's really like, okay, every day somebody's talking about Lost. Guarantee it. Not nobody. We talk about Desperate Housewives. That's how this even came to fruition. But I don't feel like it's talked about widely.
It's not. I don't know why, because I feel like there's so much to talk about and it is really fun and it is like very of its time. Like the fashion's very of its time. Like the way the show, like the kind of soapy feel, like that is very mm-hmm. like a mid-2000s thing. So we're going to bring it back. That's the goal of this podcast. We're going to get people talking about Desperate Housewives again.
Like I said, we're going to hit that content mm-hmm. desert. It's been rough in LA. All my friends in the industry, my heart goes out to you. It's been tough. There's not enough rapid tests in this world, and those vaccines are not getting
they're not out coming out
fast enough.
No.
Yeah. So once we hit that desert, everybody can be in. Like I said, you don't have to watch. You can just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy our content.
Yeah, enjoy us. Talk about us.
Yeah.
Talk about the us cute ladies.
Yes, but we are going to take a quick break. Mm-hmm. We're going to go watch this episode. Yep. You guys can pause us, go watch the episode too. Maybe you've already watched it, but we'll be right back after we watch it and we're going to come in with our hot takes.
The residents of Wisteria Lane are shocked by the sudden suicide of Mary Alice Young. Her four closest friends and neighbors, Susan Mayer, Lynette Scavo, Brie Van de Kamp, and Gabrielle Solis, attend her wake and grapple with their loss. Susan and another neighbor, Edie Britt, fight over the new man on the block, Mike Delfino, a fight that ends in Edie's house burning to the ground. Bree's husband, Rex, collapses from an allergic reaction at a diner shortly after asking her for a divorce. Lynette's children cause a ruckus in a neighbor's pool, putting her in an embarrassing situation. Gabrielle has an affair with her teenage gardener, John Rowland, behind her husband Carlos's back. Together, the women discover a mysterious blackmail note addressed to Mary Alice Young, leaving them to wonder how perfect her life really was.
Before we deep dive into our recap, we want to express that we take the content matter of suicide seriously. If you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, please don't hesitate to call the suicide hotline or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. And we're back!
We're back.
I always wanted to say that.
Those credits rolled. We went pedal to the metal.
Oh, yeah. So. This show, like, first minute and a half, comes in hot.
I wasn't prepared.
I don't think you could be prepared.
I wasn't emotionally ready for it. So we can just take it from the top.
Yeah, let's just dive right in. And we're diving right in with a juicy sweatsuit.
Yes.
That's what we have to talk
Woman
about.
Woman runs by first 2 seconds in a juicy sweatsuit. Tangerine.
Yeah. I mean, my question is, has anyone actually ever worked out in a juicy sweatsuit or velour sweatsuit? Like, she's running. It's like low rise. My brain, I can't comprehend that. And that's like the first, like it jumped out and it would not go away.
It was flared, I might add. And that is a hazard.
She's going to trip.
It's going to catch. The velour's
going to catch because that material already.
It's going to catch on something.
It's terrible.
So, I mean, I don't know what we were doing. I guess that's how people were working out in 2004.
I guess running around their neighborhood in a velour tracksuit. That's what we were doing. You know what? More power to her. She looks great. So maybe it's working. Maybe we need to do it.
When you sweat in those too, it's not sweat resistant or repellent or whatever they call the materials now.
I feel like it would get heavy, like really heavy. It would just soak up your sweat like a sponge.
You're walking around in this bag. It's all tight at first and at the end. It's all baggy.
Yeah, it's like falling off of you.
You have butt cracks left. Yeah, it was disturbing. Mm-hmm. First disturbing, then that happens.
Yeah.
Because it gets a little bit more disturbing.
Just a little.
We see Mary Alice Young. She voices over a killer monologue. Really slap. It's a monologue that slaps. You never forget this monologue. She says, "You might read about me in your newspaper." And I'm wondering, why?
What's she doing?
Immediately intrigued. Why am I going to read about you in the newspaper? Mm-hmm. Did you do something epic in your community? Are you a pageant queen? What could you, I don't know mm-hmm. what's in local newspapers. We don't have those anymore.
Yeah,
those are antiquated artifacts. She says, "You might read about the unusual day I had last week. Everything changed last Thursday." And I like that attitude. I'm like, she turned things around. Yeah. I want that energy. I want to say, last Wednesday, I changed everything. I want to say that to somebody and be definitive about it.
I mean, just the idea of changing everything. Like, yes, please.
Feels
yes,
good.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we're not unhappy at all with our lives.
I know, and I'm like, I need to change. I need to change everything.
Just like, yeah, big change. So she changed everything last Thursday, and I'm rooting for her mm-hmm. at this point. Like, what happened? She said it was a really super normal day. Just a normal day like any other. I had my breakfast. I did my chores. I painted this rusty chair in my front yard, painted it yellow. So we see that this is her hobby. I was perturbed by the rusty chair that she painted.
The brush strokes were terrible. It was like a weird color. It looked like an Easter chair.
She was dabbing it with her.
I know. It was like so much paint. I'm like, that's never going to dry. That's going to drip right off.
And she should have just had the sponge brush. Mm-hmm. She could have been putting some details on it. I don't know what's going on with this chair. It made me uncomfortable. She went to the dry cleaner, picked up her mail, and she says a line that sticks with me. She said, "I was quietly polishing the routine of my life until it gleamed with perfection."
I think that's like the thesis of every like housewife. Like that's what they're just trying to do. That's such a great it really captures the attitude and like what people think of when they think of a housewife. I don't know.
It encapsulates like the housewife mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's scary. Maybe it encapsulates the Stockholm Syndrome mentality.
Oh my God, yes. You're right.
Like, plot twist, she just has Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, that's like this whole show is about that.
But this line deserves an Emmy. This was a good line. It was perfect in every regards mm-hmm. to me. And it sets us up for what's going to come, because she says, "I'm quietly polishing my life until it gleams with perfection." And that's the high standard to be held to. As a woman, as a housewife, and we're about to see a sharp turn.
Mm-hmm.
And this is marked by I don't know if it's the music cues. Yes. So she goes to the closet,
mm-hmm.
maybe after she gets her mail, after she paints the chair, she goes to her closet, any normal closet. And on the top shelf, she takes a box down and opens it, and there's a revolver inside. And she grabs a revolver, and with the straightest face, dead behind the eyes, blows her fucking brains out.
It's so abrupt and so, I mean, it's such a crazy way to open an episode, too. Like, just having this woman just literally blow her brains out. Like,
what?
And, like, to show the whole process. It wasn't like, oh, our friend commits suicide. They're like showing this process.
It was a stark difference from her happy-go-lucky painting her chair in the front yard, sun shining through. I think it's springtime.
Yeah.
Everything is blossoming.
It's beautiful.
She is stark difference. This music cue takes the sharpest turn, dips. It's scary. She commits suicide. Yeah. And I'm like, well, first of all, when she grabs a revolver, I'm like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Has this ever been used? Why do you have it? Do you have a license for that? What's going on? is this your husband's? I don't know. And then we're just left. She's dead. And I think they show her on the floor even. Or they show the blood and the gun.
Do.
There was a warning, like a mature. You have to be mature to watch this show in that corner mm-hmm. of the TV. So this happens. This is a minute and a half in.
I mean, it's brutal. And then, like, But it just kind of keeps chugging along because we see that. And then immediately they're like, and then her nosy ass neighbor next door heard it.
Miss Martha Huber heard a pop.
Heard a pop.
And her eyebrows went straight up.
Yep. They like left, they leaped off her face.
She had been waiting all day for something exciting to happen in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she works. I don't know what she does. But she was just at her sink. Here's the pop. And she's like, I should really see what's going on with my neighbor, Mary Alice Young. I don't know how she determined that the pop was from Mary Alice's house.
Well, it's like she has ears like a dog. She like goes over there sniffing around like a literal like police dog.
She hears those whistles that like only dogs can hear, which are a total sham. Don't buy one for your dog.
Yeah, don't do that.
We're not getting sponsored by them. Nope. But she decides, oh, I have this blender that I borrowed from Miss Mary Alice Young 6 months ago. Now is the time to return it because I got nothing else going on my Thursday.
She needs an excuse to go be a nosy bitch and fucking crawl through that lady's backyard.
You have some animosity towards Miss Martha Huber.
I don't like her attitude. I don't like her attitude. I have a problem with it.
I agree. We're going to get into it more, but we see she goes to her pantry. Mm-hmm. We'll call it a pantry. And there's I liked the color of this blender, if I remember correctly. It was teal.
It was like teal and it was super old. It looked extremely old to me.
It wasn't a KitchenAid. It wasn't anything that you're trying to hoard for 6 months. I don't know why she held that long. It has a label on it.
Pristine label, property of Mary Alice Young.
And I'm like, I like that Mary Alice Young had a label maker.
I like that she was like that much of a housewife where she was like labeling her blender.
I know.
Like, what?
It wasn't like, when I was a kid, I labeled like everything. I stole my mom's label maker and I was punished thoroughly for using all those labels because they were not cheap. Yeah, so we know Mary Alice Young has money. Yeah. She had a label.
That's a sign. That's a sign of wealth. You have a label maker.
So we see that she grabs the blender and she runs over to Mary Alice's. She is living for this. She welcomes herself into their backyard.
Oh, yeah.
She's breaking and entering at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I have a problem with this. I have a problem with this. Who the fuck goes into somebody else's backyard? Who? Why?
I don't know. And, like, it's bold. Broad daylight. Anyone can see her.
What if Mary Alice was in the nude? That's what I'm wondering.
Would have been just juicy as hell for Miss Martha Huber.
Even if you were my best. Even if... Okay. I guess it was you. I was going
to
say.
I'm allowed to snoop through your backyard, but not your neighbor.
Well, not if you were snooping. If I saw you snooping, if you were like, if I didn't answer the door, if I was like, didn't answer my phone and I was expecting you over and you came into my backyard to see what was up.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, okay, expected, but no.
What if I just drove here and was just in your backyard?
I'd be, what? No. We'd have to have a confrontation.
It would be a talk.
Not even a talk. It would be a confrontation. I'd be like, why are you in my backyard? Get the fuck out. I just, no. What? Excuse me? Excuse me. Even a neighbor, worse. If it was you, okay.
Some random, yeah.
I can address it with you.
Yeah.
I'd be a little bit hostile to just a stranger, even my neighbor. But, okay, so this is problematic. Mrs. Huber snoops around, breaks and enters, and then she sees Mary Alice Young on the floor with the revolver and all the blood and calls the police. But we know this is the best moment of her entire life. She's going to tell this to everyone forever.
Yeah.
Not because she is mourning, but because it's, like, thrilling for her.
Super thrilling for her. She's the one that discovered the body.
But the police roll up, not because of the breaking entering, but...
Because of
the
suicide.
Yeah, because of the suicide.
There's a bigger reason.
And, Miss Martha Huber strolls on home and rips that label off.
She rips that thing off and the music gets all cheery and she puts it right back into her little pantry. What a way to open an episode. We got a suicide. We got a neighbor being catty as hell within, 2 minutes?
I mean, it was the best opening I've maybe ever seen.
Yeah, this is like how you draw people in.
Of course they bought this show.
Yeah.
Of course they bought it. It's, and I mean, yeah, the music's all whimsical and we continue our walk down Wisteria Lane. We really, that's where our walk started. Mm-hmm. That's where this starts. We're just strolling. We took one step into Wisteria Lane and this is how we're welcomed.
Yeah.
So I'm all in at this point. Our walk's commenced. So we meet several other important characters after this. So that wasn't enough. We're emotionally raw at this point. We're emotionally raw. They have a little bit of an intro cue. It's like 10 seconds long with Adam and Eve. It gets longer.
It's like there's like a whole like intro thing where it like does a bunch of different like art pieces that signify like domesticity.
Yeah.
And they like tweak them to like apply. I don't know. It's actually really like a good opening credit sequence.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait till the next episode to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. They only gave us a short break.
Yeah.
So yeah, they give us a short break until we see that there's a funeral going on.
And they choose the funeral or the wake, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. To introduce our cast of characters here, our gals.
Mary Alice Young is now a voiceover actress.
Yeah.
Whoever this actress is now just does voiceover.
I know. What a great gig. What a great gig. You don't have to do hair and makeup. You just roll up, record a whole season in a couple days.
She's literally living the dream. She made bank off of that.
She's the voice of the show.
What is this actress's name even?
Her name is Brenda Strong, and I know her because if there's any Seinfeld friends out there, she's like the braless wonder. Her storyline is the chick that refuses to wear a bra. That's how I know her before this
show. She is still the braless wonder. This is just her after she moved away from New York. Yeah. This is her continued story.
This is what happened to her?
Yeah, this is... There wasn't a character change. She just entered another universe. Mm-hmm. So that lady hit the jackpot. She made bank. Mm-hmm. We, I guess, are not done with her. She's still voicing over because she says, Monday is the funeral. And I was like, they move fucking fast in this town.
Get that lady in the ground.
Yeah, I don't know who was arranging this, but they mean business. So the entire street shows up. And the neighborhood is popping. You think it looks like a street festival.
Like a block party.
Yeah, a block party. Yeah. You knew exactly what
I'm
thinking.
I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah, this looks like a block party. People are flocking to their house. And I'm like, you guys didn't have to arrive that promptly.
It's like very, it feels like a barbecue or like a potluck, like not awake.
Yeah, they're all wearing black. That's the only thing that signifies this is mourning.
No
mourning.
One's really that sad.
Yeah, things get wild here. Mm-hmm. They all bring food. This is curious to me, but this is how we meet the ladies. Yes. Mary Alice Young starts commenting on what these women bring for food, and it's very telling.
Of their person, yeah.
Kind of concerning.
And we get, like, their little backstory, like, kind of a setup for each character. So first we meet Gabby, or Gabrielle Solis, and her husband Carlos. And I just want to point out, at the moment we meet them, we get this crazy Robert Rodriguez style zoom in and like the strum of a Spanish guitar, because they need to make it clear, just in case we weren't sure. they are not white.
Because Solis has a last name, like you can't really tell like what ethnicity that's tied to. And Gabrielle could, or Gabby, I think they say Gabrielle, so you're like, maybe that's a little ethnic.
Yeah.
But we have no doubt that she's ethnic after this.
And then she's got her paella.
She makes paella, which if you don't know what paella is, no shade on you. We don't cook here.
Yeah.
We're not cooks.
We are not.
I open up a bag of salad every
day. We're already failing housewifing over here.
So yeah, we're, like we said, we've never even been in the realm, including the kitchen. I've never seen, what's a kitchen? But she makes paella, and that's this crazy Spanish dish with like shrimp and like rice and stuff. It's really good, but it's also just, first of all, a lot of effort and extremely Spanish.
Extremely.
So this seems to be the only ethnic flavor we have in town, because once we get to the funeral, I have to say Mary Alice Young knew no ethnic people whatsoever. Not a single person.
Hell no.
I think Gabby and we'll soon meet her husband Carlos are the only ethnic people in this town. And I got a lot of questions for them. I'm hoping that we have an episode that is about like discrimination towards them so we can address
being not
it.
White.
Yeah, I do want that episode. I want to know what it's like for them. Because I just don't think that these people were that nice to them when they moved in.
Oh, no. You know that they were all, like, terrified of them.
They had the HOA. The HOA was after them. But the HOA should be after them because their house is kind of ugly. We see the house.
It's, like, a goldish, mustardy yellow color, and it's so ugly and garish and gaudy. I just, like, I hate it.
They use the same paint that Mary Alice was using for her rusty chair. It was literally the same paint.
Right, she saw the chair. She's like, that's what we're painting the house.
It was like deviled egg color.
Yes. It literally, do you think she took a deviled egg to the paint store and was like, match this?
She's looking at the swabs and paint or whatever those are, the cards. Yeah, so the writers make sure there's no question in our head that these people are ethnic. I do have to say, Gabby's a smoke show.
She's the hottest one.
Yeah, compared, because all we've seen this far is Mrs. Martha Huber, who has a concerning haircut.
She's a bit dowdy.
And we also saw Mary Alice Young, who had a concerning haircut. Those were both indistinguishable Karens.
Why do we call Karen and not Mary Alice's?
This could have set off a revolution.
Yeah, I know.
Mary Alice Young, because it's too long, Mary Alice Young.
Mary Alice. That's a lot.
Put that on repeat. But they were both Karens. And I didn't mind that Mary Alice Young was a Karen. She looked like a likable one. Like, not too offensive. Like, you know she's problematic, but she makes a good cookie.
Yeah, you know that she's going to say some weird shit to your gay cousin at Thanksgiving.
She makes a mean pie. You know. She's at Thanksgiving, and she's like, are there a lot of queers where you're from?
Yeah, she definitely, queer is a common word in her vocabulary.
And you're like, you can't say it. There's like, she can say that word. Nobody's saying you can't, but like, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah. Like, is she using it in a slurry way? Or is she just using it as like a term for everybody she finds?
She is not respecting your pronouns whatsoever.
Oh, no.
She's like, they, them. I don't understand.
She's like, you're one person.
She was loud enough at Thanksgiving dinner. You knew where she stood.
Yeah.
But she wasn't completely offensive.
No.
So we've only seen some Karens up until this point. And then we get Gabby, the Spanish smoke show.
The ex-model, as we come to find out.
And things change. Mm-hmm. She is so tiny.
Yeah, I have an issue with this because they show her as a runway model. She's what, 5'2"? I'm sorry, I can't. I don't buy that. I love that they chose that. Like, you could have made her print model. Could have made her, like,
an actress.
Yeah, there's so many things they could have done.
They could have, okay, actually, I have a critique for them. They could have made her an actress in Spain. A Spanish actress.
Mm-hmm. Or a soap star.
Yes, she could have been a telenovela soap star. Yeah. They fucked up.
I know, it was, like, weird to make her a model.
They could have hit home.
Yeah.
She's a model. She's too tiny to be a model. No, she really inspired me to make some goals for myself. I looked at her, I saw this scene, and I made my plans for the next week, and none of them involve eating.
Oh, no. None. This show makes me, like, this show, I think, helped cause the anorexic, like, boom of the mid-2000s, because they're all so fucking skinny.
They're also skinny, yeah. You're concerned for, are their husbands starving them?
You know their husbands are, like, mean to them if they gain any weight. Like, these men, as we come to find out, like, we know Bree's husband would.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
We're going to get to that. Well, let's hit Gabrielle's husband, Carlos. We see that she's a runway model. We see that she met Carlos. He's in the crowd at a show. I have questions about that, too. I'm like, was this what you did for fun?
Like, why was he at a runway show?
Where was this? I don't know. There's a spotlight on him. And we meet him. They're at dinner at a fancy restaurant. And Mary Alice Young voices over that. Gabby met Carlos. He proposed on the third date. And this is the biggest red flag I've ever seen.
That's a huge red flag.
Like, three dates. You don't even know that person's middle name. You don't even know their last name, maybe. Have you even saved their number?
Yeah, like, is the number saved in your phone? If not, you cannot accept the proposal.
Yeah, if their number's not, you still have read receipts on?
Yeah. Receipts. You're still playing those games?
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing on day three, but it's not getting engaged, I can tell you that. And they're getting engaged, and Carlos cried, but we learned that he cries every time he closes a deal.
Brutal. I mean, she didn't know that. And you know why? Because she accepted on the third date.
On the third date.
That's what she, like, you learn those kinds of things when you actually, you know, get to know somebody.
Bit of a sexual innuendo. Yeah. Not okay with it.
No, it's not cool.
I don't like it. Carlos gives me the heebie-jeebies immediately.
He's not hot enough for her.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not hot enough. I don't understand.
She doesn't even like him. He's not hot. He's husband number one on my shit list. You'll come to find out they're all on my shit list because I have a theory about what the show is about, but we'll hit that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They get married. I imagine it's, you know, a pristine wedding. I mean, she's a model. He does some sort of business. He closes deals.
Yeah, whatever closing deals is.
What
does that mean?
What do you do?
Business, business.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
He's a businessman.
It's like the most obscure. It's like when you're on Bumble and like it says like
entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. I'm like, if you're like, unemployed.
If you're an entrepreneur, can you hit us up and tell us what you do?
Where's the money coming from?
Like what your pyramid scheme
Who
is?
Who pays you?
Like what parent gave you money from their divorce? So they're married now. They don't seem to like each other whatsoever because they were walking over to the funeral and we hear a bit of an interaction between them.
I mean, they're like basically fighting out loud in front of the whole neighborhood.
They're like screaming at each other.
Like, it's pretty intense.
She walks with some swagger. She has some sass. Those hips are swinging. Carlos just looks like his suit is too big for him. And he says, "Can you just work it into the conversation how much I paid for your necklace?" to this guy at the funeral. Is he asking her to do this at the funeral?
I'm telling you, everyone's treating this funeral like it's some social event. I'm like, what? Like, your friend's dead. Like, shot in the head.
Like, she shot herself. Yeah. Nobody's addressing this. Mm-mm. He says, "Work it into the conversation." And she's like, "That's tacky. Don't make me do that." Mm-hmm. And I think Carlos is just tacky in general. So he responds, "Well, I could work into the conversation that you slept with half of the Yankee outfield." And I'm like, that's impressive. If you did work that, I would be super impressed.
Oh yeah, no, that's a feat. Like, that goes on your resume.
Put it on the resume. I think he's maybe verbally abusive, and I don't really like it.
Maybe. Just maybe.
I'm like questioning it. I'm like, was that verbal abuse? But he slut shames her. That's tacky. I don't like it. So we kind of leave them there. Then we meet another woman. Before we go into that, I'd like to say that I think I'll save it till then. We can get through all the women. I'll say my theory about what the show is actually about. Because it's not about Mary Alice Young killing herself. It's not about desperation of women or housewives. I'll save it till the end. Okay. Something for you guys to look forward to. So then we meet Lynette Scavo, a.k.a. Felicity Huffman.
Yeah, a.k.a. didn't she just get out of jail?
Didn't she serve some hard time?
Yeah.
That'll be for our future episode. Where are they now?
Yeah, where are they now?
But she's walking down the street with her children of the corn.
Her children, and I've said this to you, I warned you, they're little terrorists. I mean, they're little terrorists. Oh my God, her life is my nightmare, watching those kids just even try to walk down the street with them. I mean, they're being mean to her. They're yelling. They're punching each other. I'm like, damn.
They're
pull
like
it together.
Their time. They're like, ah.
Yeah.
You're like, they're not even using words. They're just making sounds at her. So she brings fried chicken to the funeral. That's a power move. Mm-hmm. That's a power move. And Mary Alice says it's a family recipe. Then we find out it's a family recipe, but Lynette didn't cook it because she doesn't have time because her husband made her quit her job. Made her quit her job.
Yeah, she gets pregnant. The first thing he says is, "So you're gonna be staying at home with them?"
He's like, "What?" He like calls her work personally. Yeah, is like,
"She's
Lynette's
quitting."
Lynette's not coming in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But he makes her quit her job, and this is problematic because she's really fucking good at her job.
Oh yeah,
we see her doing data.
Oh, she's giving presentations.
Doing spreadsheets. She's up
graphs.
She's up in front of a business, a board of business people in a power suit, a skirt power suit.
Yeah.
And I love that when writers are trying to make a generic business person, those are the things that they go for.
They're like PowerPoint, graphs, stats, business. It's like they just say that word over and over again.
And in 2004, they're not even like projecting on a screen. She has like a pointer.
Yes, she does. Oh my God.
So she's really good at her job. She looks like a CMO or something. And her kids ruined everything. And Tom ruined everything by giving her kids. And it doesn't seem like she wanted them. It didn't seem like a conversation. We see her pregnant on the table that they do the ultrasound on and whatever. And
she's miserable.
Yeah, she's like, "What? I have to quit my job?" And I know that's not how it is for every woman.
Yeah, like, no, but it's like she clearly was not keen on that idea with the first kids, and now she has four. So what the hell? Like,
or five. There seemed to be more.
They just
as
the episode went on.
As the episode goes on, like, there's so many. But they embarrass her, and she threatens them by saying she has Santa's number, which is, like, a lame lie. She could have been more creative there.
And those kids are going to cause a ruckus no matter what. I mean, I feel like she should have known.
They were, like, disassociated
from
her.
They don't care. Yeah, they're, like, staring at her like she was crazy. They're like, sure.
They don't even know who she is.
Yeah.
So that's, we get the taste of her, and that's where we leave it. She seems miserable. And then we're in the house. We enter the funeral. Mm-hmm. And we meet another lovely housewife.
Yep.
And I like this one right off the bat.
I think, love Bree.
I think Bree's going to be my girl as we go through this. Maybe not everybody's taste, but we meet Bree Vandekamp. So Bree, we hear from Mary Alice, made muffins from scratch. Mm-hmm. And I like this already. I have a big sweet tooth. And Bree is known for cooking, making her own clothes, gardening, reupholstering her own furniture.
That one threw me, and the making her own clothes threw me. Like, who the fuck is making their own clothes? Why?
She's crafty. Why? She's very crafty.
Do you think she, like, made her kids wear homemade clothes when they were young?
That's probably why they hate her so much. That might be why.
We figured it out.
they hate her because she does too much homemaking. Mm-hmm. She seems to get off on this. This is her thing. Nothing wrong with that either, but we find out that her family wants to disown her actively.
They're so mean to her.
They are not even just, like, clowning on her a little. They're, like, beating on her. Mm-hmm. They're like, Mom, you fucking suck.
Yeah. No, they're so mean.
That is their energy. They're not like, Mom has bad style. Ha ha. They're just actively berating her.
Yeah.
They're rolling their eyes at her at a funeral. At the funeral of her best friend.
I know, they could have a little more tact or kind, anything, throw her a bone.
No, she strolls up with two cute baskets of muffins, mm-hmm. and she says to Mary Alice Young's husband, this one's for you and your son, mm-hmm. and this one's for you and your guests, and she explains what's in them, and that's a nice thought. She was doing a nice thing, and her family isn't back, and they are like, oh, I can't believe it.
I can't believe she's being so kind to the neighbor that just lost his wife. Like, yeah. What the hell?
And Paul is even seeming a little put off. And I'm like, she just fed you for the next week.
I know. He, like, looks at her like she's insane. I'm like, I get you're grieving, so you get a pass, I guess. But, like, Jesus. Okay.
Everybody's super weird towards Bree. I think she's out here doing the dang thing. And everybody's like, wow, like, she's lame.
Yeah.
Even her family. So she's a little type A. We learn that. And then we meet the last of Mary Alice's young friends ever. Mm-hmm. She only had four friends ever.
Apparently, yeah. That was it.
So we meet Susan Mayer.
And her daughter, Julie.
Yeah, her daughter, Julie. We can count her as a housewife.
Because we love Julie. I love her. Like, she's the best.
I should write some fan fiction about Julie.
Yes, you should. Julie, that's who you write about.
Moved to, like, New York after this or something and did something sick as fuck. We learn that Susan makes really terrible mac and cheese.
She can't get it right.
But that's what she brings to the funeral.
So why would she be... Actually, she knows it sucks. It's kind of a bad... That's kind of a dick move.
Disrespectful.
She knows it's bad.
she knows it's bad. She's gotten lots of feedback. Mm-hmm. And this is what Mary Alice Young voices over about Susan, is that she used to have a husband mm-hmm. named Carl that actively told her all the time that her mac and cheese was terrible.
No, he was, like, super mean to her.
He clowned on her all the time and told her it was bad, but he doesn't do that anymore because he fucking left her.
For his secretary. Couldn't even be original with his affair. Like, bitch, like, your secretary.
Carl, that was boring.
His name's Carl, so I guess it kind of makes sense.
Okay, your name is boring. You did a boring move to cheat on your wife with your secretary. It wasn't creative.
No, not creative at all. And it's someone like that. It's just terrible.
It happened about a year ago.
Yeah, so she's been fuckboy free for 1 year.
She needs to write that down on her calendar. Fuckboy free. Celebrate that day.
That's the anniversary.
It's the anniversary. Ladies out there should be celebrating that day mm-hmm. that he leaves you. You're fuckboy free. She caught him, and it was a unique and interesting scene. Mary Alice Young voices over on the night that she found the lipstick. It was too watery. The mac and cheese was too watery. Mm-hmm. And on the night that he left her, it was burnt. And then now we see Julie and Susan walking over, and they're just... Yeah, I guess they're chilling. They're fine. She got to keep the house.
Susan, yeah, her house is huge and really cool. And she, like, yeah, so Carl must make some bank.
She's too good for Carl, but she got her daughter out of it. And her daughter seems to be really cool. She's pretty upfront, direct.
She seems, like, really mature.
Yeah, she came in with a hard question. She said, why would someone kill themselves if mm-hmm. they're happy?
Yeah, and if their life's, like, perfect.
Susan dodges that.
I know. Susan, like... doesn't have a good answer. I don't even really remember what she said because that's how lame it was. Like, it was just a lame answer. Like, some people are sad. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
It was brushed off abruptly. Mm-hmm. They're all at the funeral now, or this block party, I guess.
This block party where everyone wore black.
This social gathering. They're all seeming really unaffected. This is where I will tell you my theory about this show. Okay. Now that we've met the women, now that we've got the sitch that's going on. We got the vibes. This is a show about women that are too good for their husbands.
Yeah, all of them seemingly ended up with the worst kinds of men. Like, very different, but, like, also terrible. Like, Carlos is, like, super abrasive. Rex is just a dick. Carl had an affair with his secretary, so he's boring and a cheater. Yeah. And then we don't even meet Lynette's husband because he's off on business, whatever that means.
He didn't care enough about Mary Alice Young to come home for a funeral. He didn't give a fuck.
No, he didn't give a fuck because he's never home.
Yeah.
That's what I'm just going to assume. What if he never even met her?
Yeah, these men are regular, and there's nothing special. I don't know what any of them do. They're businessmen.
Yeah.
But also, where is Wisteria Lane? You're not in some, like, hot city where you're hot shit doing a really cool job. You're in Wisteria Lane, which is, like, where? Colorado?
Some sunny place. But not the South.
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know where Wisteria Lane is. It's nowhere important. And these men are, they're not impressive to me.
No, they're not impressive. They're assholes. And yeah, they have no, like, what gives them the right to act this way?
Because they're working, I guess, and their wives stay home. Very misogynistic to call it Desperate Housewives. I know that the name Women Who Married Really Regular Men was too long for this. Or, like, Women Who Are Out of Their Husband's League wasn't thrilling enough for everybody.
Yeah.
So we called them Desperate Housewives. But I think that these, Gabby was a model, and she was forced to move to this nowhere town.
I would really love to know why they ended up on Wisteria Lane.
What the fuck?
Like, did he just, like, decide, like, you need to be a housewife?
Yeah. Lynette was killing it at her job. We don't know what Bree did, but I get the vibe that she went to Yale.
Yeah. But she seems like she's really invested in being, like, the perfect housewife. So at least, like, in the sense of, like, she's doing maybe what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
She just has a jerk of a husband.
That's my theory about this show.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there, summarize what I've seen so far, how I feel about it, before we get into this flashback scene. All right, guys. So now that we've met all the ladies on Wisteria Lane, or at least the ones that matter, thanks to Mary Alice, we are going to split this into a part two episode. So much just happened that we're going to take you through the rest of the funeral and the individual storylines of these ladies in part two of Desperate, the podcast, which is live now on Spotify, Apple Music, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. So tune in.
You really don't want to miss out on it because we see content that sparks big questions for us, like how many candles are appropriate in a sexy situation?
And when do you have time to hook up with your 16-year-old gardener if he has school and your husband is at work during those hours?
And who the fuck even eats navy bean soup?
So be sure to follow us on all platforms, including Instagram at Desperate Pod and on Twitter at Desperate _Pod.
Please shoot us messages there or email us at desperatepod@gmail.com. You can grab that email from our website, www.desperatepod.com, as well.
And please, 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 I can't stress this enough, rate and review us on Apple Music. 5 stars are appreciated, or even 5 apples. Thanks, guys. We'll see you on episode 2.